You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 383, and it's April 17th, Monday, a week or 6 days before the blue and gold game. Randall's here as well. Randall, how's it going?
Not too bad. I'm covered in paint, and my nostrils are filled with paint as well, but doing pretty good.
Today on the podcast, we've got a couple different things. We're definitely going to talk about the spring game, what to watch for in that. Solon wrote an article. You can go read that over on the website. We'll have some comments about that as well. We just finished watching Kaiser's interview or time with Gruden, the Gruden quarterback camp series that he does. We'll talk about that a little bit. There's some changes as well, and maybe that's where we'll start. Changes that the NCAA made this offseason. So, Randall, you were reading up on that. Do you want to give us the lowdown on that?
Sure. Some of these changes, I mean, it's more of like a verbal thing. They haven't finalized it yet. Like the early signing period, you know, they said they're going to do it, but they won't actually confirm that until June, I believe, to finalize that, which would be an early signing period in December. They did say that you will be allowed to hire the 10th coach, but it doesn't go into effect until January 9th of 2018, so after this upcoming season. And I'm guessing that's mainly due to, you know, teams, you don't want teams going out and trying to find more position, another position coach. At this point in the season, you know, you might have a school like Alabama trying to poach. I'm just saying that'd be attractive for them to hire another guy off of, you know, a guy might leave a school for that job. Yeah.
So,
but
now, obviously,
I don't know. I haven't really looked how many schools have. Notre Dame's in a pretty good situation. They kind of prepared for that in case it would go into effect with Tommy Rees. But I haven't really checked to see if other schools did that as well.
And the biggest drawback about Tom Rees not being an actual assistant coach is that he can't help with recruiting. He can't do in-home visits.
He can help when they're on campus, but he can't lead, he can't do off-campus recruiting.
But it won't affect him as a quarterback's coach as far as spending time with the players or anything like that.
No, not
I
really.
Wonder, I kind of doubt it, but I do wonder if it affects his pay. Is there a limit on how much you can pay?
That's a good question. I doubt it, but I don't know for sure. Since you mentioned Tom Rees instead of Tommy Rees, I did see a tweet that the advantage of going with Tom Rees, it fits, but when you're on Twitter, you can add another couple words. It doesn't take as much of your, 146 characters if you just write Tom instead of Tommy. So that's one advantage to calling him Tom.
That's true. Although I'm looking at his Twitter. On Twitter, he still has his name as Tommy Rees.
He's been going by both.
But his handle is just T_Rees11. I like calling him Tommy.
Let's just call him T. Rees, or just T for short. But anyways, the early signing period, one of the biggest things is that schools will be allowed to have official visits earlier. Right now, they can't have an official, a player can't have an official visit until his senior year, September 1st of his senior year. So basically, all the guys that have been coming to campus the last while have been unofficial.
They're paying out of pocket.
And even, you know, like Irish Invasion, all these camps, everybody's paying for it. So that's why you see a lot of players take multiple visits. You know, you see them, they're at Notre Dame today, tomorrow they're at Ohio State, and, you know, next day they're at Wisconsin, because they're trying to get as many visits on one trip as possible because they are having to pay for it. What's been proposed is players being able to take official visits in their junior year. Like, basically, it's kind of weird. If they would be from April 1st of their junior year, this is where it's weird, through Sunday before the last Wednesday in June. So I'm not sure why.
Sunday. Of their junior season.
Yes. So basically right now.
A window there.
Right now, a 2019 recruit could take an official visit.
And then as a senior, they couldn't have an official again until after September 1st of their senior season?
No, that's how it is now. I'm not sure how that all would work out, but now you can't take an official visit until after September 1st of your senior year.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's a window as a junior.
Yes,
but
yes.
Then again, as
for
a
like
senior.
3 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
there's
that,
a 3 month window.
Would that window be then the same when they're a senior again?
I'm not totally sure. It's confusing. Basically, the coaches are the ones that need to know that. But right now, you know, coaches can go visit schools. You know, right now the coaches, you know, they've been out on the road, but they're not allowed to have contact with the player. They can go to the school and evaluate them, but they can't talk to them, can't talk with the parents, so they talk, you know, with the coaches. I mean, it's, I think if at some point, you know, if this player contacts them, then they can respond. It's a mess. Yeah. Anyways, I'm all for less.
Making it more open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing that would change, which is good for Notre Dame, the early signing period would be in December. So a player could sign in December, and what they're trying to get away from is schools pulling scholarships right before signing day. So what it comes down to, if you're committed to a school and they don't give you the option to sign in December, that means you should maybe start looking somewhere else because they're not sure if they want to add you to the class.
They're not, yeah. Because they're not sure. Someone else might be taking that kid's scholarship.
So it gives the kids a chance. It gives them 2 months or a month, just over a month because it's 1st of February. It gives them a chance to maybe do something else. So it's good or bad. If you look at Notre Dame's last class,
I'd still say that it's good for Notre Dame because usually we're not in that situation.
Yeah, I agree. If you look at this last class, you know, Notre Dame got 6 commitments, you know, after the December signing period. Five of them were committed to Notre Dame or were committed elsewhere. But 4 of them would have been committed to school by this December signing period, so they could have potentially signed at their schools, and Notre Dame would not have had a chance to recruit them. But it's the same for every school. I mean, the recruiting is just going to change a little bit. The other thing I was going to mention is what helps Notre Dame is they were going to put a cap on how many guys you can sign. You can't sign more than 25 in a class.
Okay.
So that would get rid of the gray shirting and all the stuff that other schools, Michigan and Alabama, try to get by with. Do you know how many?
Now, is that one of the verbal changes that you can't sign more than 25?
Okay. Yeah. Michigan, I think, had 30 in the last class, and Alabama had like 29, and Michigan had 11 early enrollees, and Alabama had 16 early enrollees and 3 gray shirts. So basically what's happening is some of these
16 early enrollees, hold it.
Well, they can add them to the last class like they can move them around to different classes. They're not necessarily,
they can
count
against the previous year's scholarship number.
Yeah, the gray shirting thing. And so that would help Notre Dame because it helps the players because some of these schools do, just like the one player with Alabama, you know, some people thought that Notre Dame might be an option for the one, was it a defensive lineman? Was basically told they didn't have a spot for him on the Alabama team this year, but then he ended up gray shirting, which means it's better for the recruits as well.
Mm-hmm.
And eliminate some of these schools that don't really care. All they care about is their team and winning. Obviously, every team wants to win, but they're not as worried about the players.
They're not, they're not as, I can't think of the right word, but as principled maybe, or doing things the right way.
Yeah, so anyways, it might change something that's come up. You know, it might change Irish Invasion a little bit because right now that's an unofficial, those are unofficial visits, and they can maybe change, if they change the date of that, you know, it could be official visits, you know, and you could have a better chance of getting guys from the West Coast or, you know, where it's more expensive for them to fly in. So anyways, that's kind of where that's at.
Wasn't there another change with satellite camps?
There's only like 10 days or something. I didn't check that out as much. There's only like 10 days where they can have the camps off that they can be off
off campus.
Off campus.
But do they still need to be where the football team normally practices?
Yeah, it needs to be. Yeah.
So you couldn't go and have a camp for Michigan. They couldn't go have a camp in Florida.
No, I don't think so.
Or the Vatican.
So this is, yeah. So that's kind of why Notre Dame ended up not going to IMG, because they didn't want to get, you know, they'd probably been okay, but they just didn't want to get into some sticky situation where, oh, you know, you weren't supposed to do that. You know, now we're going to take some wins away because you're Notre Dame.
You can have all of the 2016 wins.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, I wanted to touch on, we just touched on what Brian Kelly said about DeShone Kizer. You know, he thinks he would have been better off being in college, spending a few more years there. Well, Colin Cowherd, he has a radio show on Fox, The Herd, had his back and praised Brian Kelly for just finally a coach who isn't PC, doesn't say what the media and what fans want to hear. He'll just say what he thinks is true, and he'll be honest about it. And I do like listening to Colin. He's one of my favorite national radio hosts. So
if you read that whole article, I don't think Kelly was necessarily calling him out.
I don't think so. Yeah.
So, yeah, he was saying if that's what he was doing, it was a good thing, but whatever.
Well, he was just being honest and just saying, yeah. I mean, and DeShone Kizer handled it very well, too, saying, too, I mean, everyone has work to get better.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he answered it pretty well. Okay, that's all about that. Let's talk about DeShone Kizer and Gruden, and then we'll talk about the spring game. So you can find the video of Gruden's quarterback camp where he has DeShone Kizer in his studio, and I definitely encourage you to watch it. It's 20 minutes long, but it's interesting. He doesn't hit Kizer too hard. The biggest thing that he hit him on was ball security. And had some clips just from...
And protecting his right shoulder.
And protecting his right shoulder when he's running. But he really did have a lot of high praise for Kizer as far as making throws. One example was in the Temple game. I believe it was the final touchdown that Notre Dame scored on the right side to Will Fuller, where the safety was coming down. It didn't really look like there was much of a window there. And it was tight, but Kizer was able to throw it in. And Kaiser's comment was that defenders are coached to make throws impossible or to take throws away from the quarterback. Yeah. And he said those are the kinds of throws that he likes to make, the ones that the defense thinks they've taken away by their coverage.
Yeah. And Temple good coverage. And that would have been a run play, but he did change the play. He had the option to pass, and that's obviously what he did. The funny thing with all that is when Gruden was asking him, you know, kind of what all they do, the pre-snap, you know, what all they do, it was very complicated. I would say it's very complicated at Notre Dame under Brian Kelly. Like, there's a lot going on. And Kizer was just like,
it's 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah. Like, it seemed like the simplest thing in the world. But it was not like that. I mean, there's obviously a lot more to it. But... Yeah, it was very interesting.
One thing I did really like what Kizer said about Brian Kelly was that he demands greatness. And even Kizer thought he had really high standards, but he said that Brian Kelly even pushed him further than what his standards had been. And it was a compliment of Brian Kelly. And I'm glad that, yeah, I thought it was good. I think it's good of Brian Kelly to definitely be pushing players to greater accomplishments than what they themselves thought was possible. One disappointment was that Gruden asked Kizer why he's going to the NFL, kind of, and he gave kind of a long, Kizer responded with a long answer, but he did say that his ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl. And I wish his ultimate goal would have been to win a national championship, but I can see why his greatest goal or ultimate
Wouldn't
goal
every
would,
player
would,
say
be,
that?
Would be to win a Super Bowl.
That's what every player would say.
I'm sure while he was on, his goal while at Notre Dame was to win a championship.
He's obviously thinking about the NFL, because on the one comment, he said basically he can't make that mistake because he got Von Miller. Oh, he's waving the ball around with one hand, You know, he said Von Miller would be all over that, would be excited. So he's obviously already thinking about NFL players coming at him.
There was one other thing I was going to mention about the Gruden interview, and now I'm just spacing on what that was. Oh, yeah. Did you think that Kizer looked at all his kind of his attitude or his body language was different from the clips from 2015 to 2016?
As far as on the field?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about it.
And I know maybe a lot of this is because Notre Dame was winning in 2015 and not in 2016, but he seemed much, much more animated after a big play. They showed clips from 2015 as well as from last year after they had scored a touchdown or whatever. And he just seemed much more excited and full of energy in 2015 than he did in 2016. But again, this is a very small sample size.
Well, he didn't have to look over his shoulder.
I still don't buy into that. Or I believe that he was looking over his shoulder, but if you're a great quarterback, if you're a great player, then you should have the confidence. Yeah, you're a great player, and it doesn't matter who's behind you.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the spring game. Solon wrote an article over on the website, irishsportstalk.net, and I tweeted out a link as well, talking about the spring game and what he's looking for in the spring game. So we're going to hit on a couple of these points as well as some of our points as well. And I guess one of his first points, and I agree with, is player conditioning. We've heard about it all winter, and now finally we'll get to see, fans will be able to see a practice. Player conditioning, a lot of them have gained, you know, 10 pounds. Their body fat percentage is down, and so...
And they've learned how to flex better.
I don't know if... Where do you expect to be able to see that, oh yeah, these guys, you can see their conditioning has improved? Because I'm not so sure we'll see that much of a difference. If we do see a difference, I think it will be on the lines, whether it's the offensive line having their way with the defensive line or maybe a defensive lineman blowing up an offensive line player.
Well, one question he had is, will this team be faster swarming to the ball? And I think that's where you'll see it more. I mean, guys getting to the ball or wherever it's at. I just think it'll be hard to actually see it because you'd almost have to see it side by side, you know, last year and this year. But I think if you would do that, they'd definitely be getting to the ball faster. And they're not as wore out. You won't see players huffing and puffing, you know, especially
the
linemen.
I don't know if there will be enough plays per
in the spring game
for the player, like for a specific player to be able to really tell.
No.
But
I think it will be hard.
Definitely against some of the less talented teams, I think we will be able to see a difference. But again, I think it will be at the line of scrimmage where last year when Notre Dame was playing a Duke or a Syracuse, I think looking back, maybe then we'll be able to see more of a difference, and that'll also be after a few more months of conditioning.
Well, they should be, according to their vertical gains, they should outjump every opponent, so maybe we'll see a difference in the vertical jumps.
All right, let's talk about offense. I'm curious to see, so we've kind of heard that it's more outside wide receivers than inside receivers versus the two different outside wide receiver, the X and the W. So interested in looking at that. And then where does CJ Sanders and Fink line up? Because it sounds like they've been lining up more on the outside, and I'm just curious to see who is lining up in the slot.
Yeah, I agree, but I think it will be the tight ends or even maybe a running back versus a slot guy, like we've seen these small slot guys. We talked a little bit about it last week, but I don't think we'll see Sanders or Fink lining up on the inside like we had before. It'll be one of these bigger guys, Alizé Jones, maybe Miles Boykins, but the tight ends, you know, they'll definitely be a bigger player there. Kind of our thoughts of the slot player will change.
Yeah, and then the tight ends. How many times from, it sounds like from the horse's mouth from Chip Long that they're going to use multiple tight ends, multiple running backs. So I'm just curious to see that. Are we going to see two tight ends? And maybe they're not. Maybe they're not attached to the line. Maybe they're more in the backfield, or maybe they're by the in this traditionally the slot position.
Well, you know, talking about the receiver like Fink and Sanders, it will be interesting to see where they fit in, because it'll be, I think it'll be much harder for them to get on the field, because obviously that another tight end is going to take that wide receiver spot away. And so it's gotten a lot harder for the wide receivers to get on the field. And so I'm not sure how they're going to fit in, because obviously EQ is your number one guy, and it looks like Miles Boykin is stepping up to be the number two.
I still think, until I see it, I still expect to see three wide receivers out on the field.
Every play?
70% of the plays, yeah. At least 70%, maybe even higher than that.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to tell from the spring game or not.
Probably not. You know, coming away from the spring game and knowing for sure what it's going to look like in the fall, yeah, isn't going to happen. Okay, on defense. So I'm curious to see at two positions.
Before you go on to defense, there's three guys I was going to watch for on offense.
Okay.
I was Miles Boykin, so I already mentioned him. See, you know, we've heard good things about him this spring. He's catching the ball better. He doesn't have, last year, you know, he was dropping the ball. Ball security was an issue. And will he step up and be that number two guy? I remember last year's spring game, just seeing the size of him out in the field was impressive, but then obviously it didn't matter what size he was, he couldn't catch the ball. Then another guy is Alizé Jones. You know, everybody keeps raving about Alizé Jones, but
I'm raising my hand
right
here.
He still hasn't scored a touchdown.
I don't care. The man is...
And the talk about him going pro after this year is very premature. Like
CJ Pro Size, all it takes is 1 year.
I know, but it's all the hype.
It is hype, but I believe in it. I believe in the hype.
What about Greg Bryant? He was another guy that we expect huge, had huge spring games too, but he never, you know, he's a five-star guy.
Okay, but he wasn't able to get on the field a ton because, according to the coaches, he didn't understand blocking assignments, or he didn't, he just didn't.
But I'm saying just because of his...
I know, but even Alizé...
Ranking and stuff.
As a freshman...
He was out for a year, he hasn't played. He's got to prove to me that he can...
Well, I know... He proved himself to the previous coaching staff in 2015 because they were trying to get him the ball. They were manufacturing plays to get him the ball.
As a true freshman.
And
it
didn't work out very often. Like there was drops. There was maybe passes that were off because the route was wrong.
That I agree. That's one thing that, you know, on the flip side, that's one thing that gives me hope that he is that good, because I think he was out on the field as a true freshman, and I think a lot of the reason – you know, he didn't get his touchdown or the wrong route, it was because of him, his route running, just the small things, the blocking. That's why, and I think he has improved in that, but he's not NFL ready yet.
After this season,
I hope so. I'm just saying, like,
okay, let's talk. Are you ready to move over to defense?
One other guy, Tony Jones, as running back.
Heard a lot about him, a lot of praise.
And I think he's going to be out to prove that he needs playing time. I think he's going to have a big spring game. So he's going to be, I'm predicting that he's going to be the MVP of the offense.
On defense, Mike Elko is bringing his 4-2-5 defense, which that is what he calls it. And he kind of includes the Rover as a hybrid position with the safeties and linebackers. However, it pretty much is a linebacker. I mean, it pretty much is a 4-3-4 defense, and that Rover does some different things. So watching the Rover, and more specifically, if it's Tranquil or if it's Bilal or if it's someone else, how many times do they ask Tranquil to drop in coverage more versus Bilal? How do they use those differently? And again, this is just one game, and it's a spring game, but I'm curious to see if they tend to and they'll probably be on different teams, I'm guessing. I don't know exactly sure how the blue game is going to be matched up. But just watching that Rover position and also watching the drop end position. So we'll have Dalen Hayes as one of those. And then probably who
Jameer Jones.
Jameer Jones. So how many times do those guys drop into coverage? Julian Okorah.
Yeah.
And so those two positions are the most interesting to me on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I haven't seen how they're going to split up the teams, but...
I'm assuming it's going to be what they did a week ago. They had a scrimmage where they had 50 or 60 plays.
Okay, but as far as splitting up the team...
Well, I know, but I'm...
Offense versus defense, or they're going to have two teams, or...
I guess I don't know, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much... I'm wondering how much different the defenses will look, because they've been talking about the fundamentals. Like, they haven't really... That's what they've been working on, is the fundamentals. And suppose they haven't worked on the different schemes and stuff that much.
Good. I hope it's as vanilla as anything I've ever seen when I'm...
I think the differences you'll see are...
Tackling.
The fundamental parts. I don't think they'll come out there and you'll see some crazy defense out there. Like, completely different from last year.
Well, last year was... You had linemen dropping in coverage a lot. Or what do you mean?
Well, I'm saying as far as how they line up. I mean, just defensive play. It's more about the fundamentals. And they still have a lot to learn with that defense.
I agree, but they're still... That Rover and that drop end are still... I'm still curious to see, even if it's more vanilla, how often, I mean, does he drop, I mean, is it once every 10, 15 plays, or is it every time it's third and long, do they tend to do this or that?
Yeah, I want to see what Daniel Cage does, because it seems he's out of shape and, you know, hasn't been practicing, or he did practice, but I mean, he's not in game form. But supposedly he's having his best spring of his career. So it'll be interesting to see how he actually looks out in the field. And then obviously that Rover position. And then just the safeties. I mean, how they play. Wimbush is supposedly a really good quarterback. And how do they play against? I mean, it'll be a good gauge to see them play against Wimbush. How their coverage schools are. And is... Nick Coleman as good as advertised. There's a lot of things to watch for on the defense.
There are. I think I'd be more at ease if the offensive line is unable to handle everything that the defensive line throws at them. If the defensive line is able to get at least somewhat pressure, that makes me feel pretty good, because I'm not worried about the offense. The defense is the part that, you know, is the question mark. And I still believe even if the offensive line is able to keep a clean pocket on every single play, still have confidence that guys are going to step up and they're going to have at least as good of a defensive line as they have had over the last few years.
It's going to be hard to tell, because I doubt they'll be allowed to hit Wimbush.
Yeah, but we'll still be able to see if they're able to penetrate through the interior of the lines or get around the edge.
Yeah.
Even if they don't hit him, or if they're able to create pressure where Wimbush has to move around or get out of the pocket.
But it's still a little bit different than when you know you can take down the quarterback. I'm totally in favor of having the backup quarterbacks live. Get this defense some. They need all the practice and get at.
Weren't Golson and.
Kind of, but they're still not. They're still careful in what they do.
Yeah.
But I doubt Wimbush will be.
I'm sure he won't be.
He'll be protected, but I'm kind of on the fence about whether he should get hit a little bit.
No, because we need a healthy starting quarterback.
I know, but. He hasn't been in. He did get some game time, but, you know, practice is one thing when you're not getting hit. At some point, you're going to have to get hit. And I'd rather have a couple plays that he gets hit on a couple plays in practice versus getting hit for the first time, you know, in the Temple game. But I do think that Ian Book and Van Gorder should be.
should be live.
Yes,
I agree with you there. I would love to see the backup quarterbacks, let them be live.
I'm sick of a soft defense, and they are stepping it up.
They've been working on making the practices more physical.
Yes, and so let's get physical in the spring game.
All right, recruiting. Notre Dame is going to host a handful of recruits on Saturday. Randall, do you have that list, or are there any interesting names that?
Well, right now, the majority of the guys that are going to be there are current commits. So they'll be guys that are already committed to Notre Dame. Avery Davis, and we even have guys from this year, Avery Davis, Jafar Armstrong, Josh Lugg, Dylan Gibbons, Kofi Wardlow, Denmark Heath, Dewar. And then for 18 commits, you got Marquise Stepp, which is your number one recruiter. So it's good if he's there when there's new guys coming on. Micah Jones, Braden Lindsey, the Adam Alola twins are going to be there. And then right now it's still – there will be guys that are visiting prospects, but probably at this point at least half of them are going to be commits. Guys that have signed and guys that are committed to the 2018 class. There's going to be a couple 2018 wide receivers coming in, and defensive end Tyreek Smith, linebacker Dallas Gant, wide receiver Kevin Austin, wide receiver Chase Cota, wide receiver Christian Smith, Elk Christian Smith. You got 2019 defensive end George Karloftis coming in. So there's going to be a lot of recruits there. And I think it's the more signed and committed players you can get there, the better. And if you got Marquis Stepp there, let him do his thing and get these guys signed. See how many guys he can sign up.
Hey, and if you're in the area, you definitely should go. You'll be able to see what's done with the new stadium renovations, get a look at that, and at least if it, I don't know what the forecast is, which it's still about six days out. I think every time I've gone, it's been a beautiful day.
Yeah. Well, it has gotten better. I will tell you right now, my prediction for South Bend, Indiana says Saturday, 20% chance of rain, 0.28 inches for the day, and it looks like that will be towards like Saturday night midnight is when the rain.
Okay, good. Temperatures
high of 55, low of 43.
So a little windy, chilly.
22 mile an hour winds.
But even when it's windy,
it is not. It is going down right now. It's 20% chance of rain, so that means it's not going to rain. So we'll go with that. This app is actually pretty reliable. It actually takes. I rely on it quite a bit because it takes like local weather stations. Like you can register your own weather station. Like if you're a weather geek at home and have your little
a little fan outside, sensor,
yeah, and you can look at cameras, live cameras of people that have. Hey, some people are into weather as much as you are into football. So it changes so much. I don't really look at it until
the reason that the weather doesn't interest me. I was going to say, the reason the weather doesn't interest me is because I have no control over it, but I guess the same thing is true about football. And probably a lot of things that we like to be entertained with.
Yes.
All right, Randall, that's all I've got. You have anything more?
Yeah, defensive end Scott Pagano from Clemson finally made his decision, and he ended up going to Oregon, which that's originally he did say he wanted to play on the West Coast, closer to home, so... He got our hopes up with, you know, making these visits here in the Midwest, but he did commit to Oregon, and
I would have been really disappointed if he would have ended up staying at Clemson, because here
he wouldn't. What?
Well, that was option.
They're probably hoping he would stay there, but I wish Notre Dame would have got him. It would have helped his defensive line
completely.
Right now, we've got guys like. Jerry Tillery and Jonathan Bonner are playing nose because they don't have anybody else. And that's bad. Yeah,
And I still wonder
if they can coach up guys, and you're pretty positive about them getting guys ready to play, but some of these are basically out of position.
Yeah, but they need with Cage's return, if he can stay healthy, that will help out a lot.
True, but I think it could have made a huge difference. You can watch the game on NBC Sports. I think it's going to be broadcast on NBC, which it usually is every year, but it's NBC Sports. It's not just on the normal NBC channel. And also the shirt, if you're interested in that, I think the unveiling is Friday night, I believe, and you can usually buy those the day of the game.
And then we'll be sending
our winners from March Madness. Yes. And then,
the one winner.
The only other news, the NFL draft is April 27th, which would be Thursday night in a week, I believe. So basically a week and a half, 2 weeks away. Brian Kelly and Kizer are planning to be there on Thursday night for the first round. I think it's a bad idea.
I still think he's going to go in the first round.
But he's going to be that guy that they're going to have the cameras on at the end of the round. It's just going to be that. Notre Dame players always get drafted lower than what they're projected to be drafted at. And that's for sure going to happen with Kizer.
So what would you say is his expected... his expected draft status, or like you think that 15th is where people expect him, and you think he'll actually go early in the second round?
It'll be late first, potentially second round. It happens every time.
Quarterbacks or teams always reach for quarterbacks, especially when there's
have one of the first picks.
Especially when there's raw talent there. Okay, that's all we've got. Head on over to forums.irishsportstalk.net if you're interested in joining the forums talking Notre Dame football, and show up for the game on Saturday. It's usually a lot of fun.
And you can come join us, tweet us.
Tweet at Irish Sports Talk if you're in the area.
Group of us are getting together. They're at the game, watch it together. So.
All right, that's all we've got. Thank you guys for listening. And, one more thing. We will have our podcast. We'll be on Saturday. And then we won't our post spring game will be on Saturday, and then we won't have one on Monday.
Well, we can talk about that, but Monday will be our draft preview. Might be a short one, but at some point we could do a draft preview.
Okay, you might need to do it on your own because I'm going to be gone.
What a slacker!
All right, we'll figure something out. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish!
Go Irish!